Thank you for joining the OU's Nach Yomi. I am Jack Abramowitz, and today we will be learning Mizmor Kuf Chaf Beis, Psalm 122. Shir Hamalos LaDavid, a song of ascents by David. We are continuing the series of 15 psalms called Songs of Ascent. Samachti ba'omrim li, Beis Hashem Nelech. David says, I rejoiced when people said to me, let's go to the house of God, meaning the temple. David knows that the temple cannot be built in his lifetime. God already told him that it would be built after his death by his son Shlomo, Solomon. Nevertheless, it pleases David when he hears that people are eager to have the temple built so that they can serve God there. The Yerushalmi suggests that the people who were saying this were actually trying to offend David with plausible deniability, but even so, David was still sincerely happy at the thought that the temple would ultimately be built. Omdos hayu raglenu b'sha'arayach Yerushalayim. Our feet were standing inside your gates, Jerusalem. The Ibn Ezra suggests that the reason that the people stood in the gates of Yerushalayim was because of the crowds struggling to get in. It was bigger than the most crowded concert or ball game by far. So there was such a push of people that they had to wait standing in the gates before they would be able to enter. Rashi has a different interpretation. He says, "Bamochama b'kol makom," that wherever the armies were in battle, Bishvil Sha'arayach Yerushalayim, it was because of your gates, Jerusalem, Sha'oskin Bahen Batorah. They were fighting in defense of the city where Torah was studied so intensely. So wherever the army was, they stood fast because of Jerusalem, for the sake of Jerusalem. Pasuk Gimel, Yerushalayim Habanuya, Jerusalem built up. Yerushalayim Habanuya, like the song, Lashana Haba, that we sing. Rashi defines Habanuya, built up, as referring to the presence of the Shechina, which is typically referred to as God's presence. So when the Beis HaMikdash would be built, it would have the Shechina resting there, it would have the temple, it would have the ark, it would have the altar. So that's what it means to have Yerushalayim built up, that all these things would reside in the temple. Ki'ir shechubrala yachtav, like a city joined together in itself. Rashi's first explanation compares Yerushalayim to Shiloh, the former home of the Mishkan, the tabernacle that the Jews built in the desert when they left Mitzrayim, and later that was destroyed, and the temple was built as the permanent home. For his second explanation, Rashi quotes a Gemara in Tanis, that there's a heavenly Yerushalayim. He says, "Rabbeinu Amru, our rabbi said, Yeshu Yerushalayim habanuya bashamayim, there was a Jerusalem built up in heaven. Ba'atida Yerushalayim shalmata lihios kamosa, and the earthly Jerusalem is destined to become like the heavenly one." So for Jerusalem to be joined together in itself is for the terrestrial Jerusalem to be like the celestial Jerusalem, although I'm not sure in exactly what sense. But Rashi's first and primary explanation is that Yerushalayim is like Shiloh, and he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which says, Ki lo vasem ad ata el hamenucha v'el hanachla. The Jews had not yet reached the resting place or the heritage that God would give them. And Rashi says that the menucha, the resting place, refers to Shiloh, which was the temporary house of God in the form of the Mishkan. And the heritage or the inheritance refers to Yerushalayim, which would be the permanent home of the temple. Shesham olu shvatim shivtei ka. That's where the tribes of God went up to. The tribes are referred to as Shivtei Ka, the tribes of God. Rashi says, Asher sham b'shilu alu shvatim kishalu b'mitzrayim. That Shilu, that's where they went when they entered Israel after leaving Egypt. That's where they went and they set up the Nikvah HaMishkan B'socha. The Mishkan was established there. Edus li Yisrael, lehados l'shem Hashem. It is a testimony to Israel to give thanks to the name of God. How so? The Mishnah in Avos tells us that one of the miracles of Yerushalayim was that it was never too crowded, and this manifested itself in a number of ways. For example, people always found a place to stay when they came to Yerushalayim, and in the temple, even when they were pressed together, they were still able to bow down with room all around them. So this was a miraculous conservation of space that would occur when all the tribes would come to Yerushalayim for all the different holidays that we were required to go to the temple for. So this is a testimony to the relationship between God and Bnei Yisrael. So Edus li Yisrael, it's a testimony to Israel, l'hadosh l'shem Hashem, to give praise, to give thanks to the name of God. But why should all this happen in Yerushalayim of all places? Pasuk Hey, Kishama Yashu Kisos Lamishpat, because that's where thrones were set for judgment. So what are these thrones? Kisos LeBeis David, the thrones of the Davidic dynasty. So God's presence, the Shekhinah, rests, as best we can understand it, in Yerushalayim. I mean, God is everywhere, so what it means that his presence is more intensely felt in Yerushalayim. You know, I can't define what God's presence means when God is everywhere, but it's a more intense relationship with God in Yerushalayim, on the Har HaBayis, in the temple itself, so it's an increasing intensity. So God's presence rests in Yerushalayim, and it's also the capital where the once-in-future kings set up their throne. So David and all of his descendants in Yehuda after the Civil War, and Mashiach, ultimately, a descendant from Beis David, Yerushalayim is the capital. The Radak says, Kisot, Lashon Rabim, chairs in the plural. Chad l'Shechina, v'chad l'Malchus Beis David. One is for God's presence, and one is for the Davidic kingdom. So there are two thrones in Jerusalem. The temple is God's throne, metaphorically speaking, plus that of David and his descendants. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yishloyu Ohavayach. May your loved ones prosper, or may they enjoy tranquility. The Radak says that this verse means that we should pray to be quickly redeemed from exile, because until that happens, ki ad oso ha'es, lo hayala shalom. Until that happens, there won't be peace there. Ki il nilchamim aleihem harbe umos, because many nations are going to fight over Jerusalem. So until we come back and establish it, everyone's going to fight over it. And the Radak died in the early 13th century, so I think you'll see that that his interpretation of this pasuk has proven correct for the past 800 years worth of history. Yehi shalom b'chelech, may there be peace within your walls. The Radak says that chelech are short walls built around taller walls, so it's an exterior wall. So he's saying peace should be found even within your outer walls. Shalva b'amr nosayach, and prosperity or tranquility should be found within your palaces. This verse, Shalom b'chelech and Shalva b'amr nosayach, and the next two verses might be familiar because they are part of the Musaf service that we recite on Shabbos and Yontov. They're in the section that starts Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Be'olam, that Torah scholars increase peace in the world. So that whole section is actually the conclusion to the Masecha of Brachos, the Talmudic tractate of Brachos, and that portion of the Gemara quotes these verses. So David continues, Lamanachai v'rei'ai, for the sake of my brothers and my companions, that is, for the sake of all Israel, Adabrana shalom bach, I, King David, will speak of peace within you, Jerusalem. Laman beis Hashem Elokeinu, for the sake of the house of God, meaning the temple, Avaksha tov lach, I will request good things for you. And that is the end of the parak. So the Das Mikra interprets this psalm as if it's spoken by someone who is returning from a trip to Yerushalayim and they are describing their journey. And he breaks the Mizmor down piece by piece. I'll just hit a few of the high points of his explanation. So at first, where the psalm says, Somachti ba'omrim li beis Hashem neilech, the traveler rejoiced to hear someone say, hey, let's go to the temple in Jerusalem. So he's expressing his gladness at the idea that this road trip to Yerushalayim. Then in the next part, Omdos hayu raglenu b'sharayach Yerushalayim, that our feet stood in your gates, Jerusalem. They've arrived, and he's actually there inside the city. He's in awe. Wow, I'm in Jerusalem. Yerushalayim habenuya, Jerusalem built up. The traveler marvels at the sight of Jerusalem in all its glory. Lehados l'shem Hashem, to give thanks to the name of God. They've now arrived at the temple, which is the purpose of their journey, and that's where they're going to perform their service to God. Then getting to the closing portion of the psalm, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, seek the peace of Jerusalem. As they're leaving, the residents of Yerushalayim ask the travelers to remember them in their prayers. So they're saying, you know, please, you know, pray for us. Yishloyu al havayich, may your loved ones enjoy prosperity. In return, say the people of Jerusalem, we'll remember you, our supporters, in our prayers. So it's a reciprocal relationship. They say, pray for us, we'll pray for you. Everyone wins. And then the concluding verse, Yehi shalom b'chelech, that there should be peace in your walls and all of that. This represents the blessing offered back to the residents of Yerushalayim by the departing travelers. So as they're going, the residents say, pray for us and we'll pray for you, and they return a bracha on them that there should be peace in your walls and all good things. And that is the end of Psalm Kuf Chaf Beis. I thank you again for joining us, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow when we learn Psalm Kuf Chaf Gimel.